thing about that and into there. I entered high school, which jumped to 11th grade, when they opened the new LA High, which is way out on 11th Avenue, about a mile beyond the end of the streetcar line, way on the other side of town. And the cows were grazing across the street. And when we were bad boys in gym, they made us go over the cross-country route right through where the Miracle Mile is now.
Well, I'll be darned.
Right up to La Brea and Wilshire and La Brea. That was all grass into there. And we used to go through the mud and everything else.
And the cows.
And the long way. Yes, 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 I remember that very well. We were the first Y that I entered when they opened the new one. That, by the way, was just condemned this last year.
Oh, it was. So
yes.
They'll be tearing it down, I suppose.
I don't know whether they tore it down or they, I think they did, or rebuilt it last year into there. And I got through there and I went the second semester, the first winter of 1919. I was in junior college right there. It was on the same high school at that time. Now, my grades were always good. I mean, there wasn't any question of that. And I'll never forget the old principal of L.A. High. When I came up to him, you see, because in order to go to university, you had to have a principal's recommendation of 15 recommended grades and so on. He says, "You're too young, you don't want to go." I said, "Come on." He couldn't help himself. After all, I was just barely 14.
Right.
Oh, sure. All right, now, there come the next. So I was going to go now. My mind was made up. I was going to college. I was going to be a teacher, and I was going to major in mathematics and Spanish. This is to be a high school teacher. And so was my sister going into USC, and so was my brother going to USC, but I said no, I wouldn't go. I waited at that time. They were just opening up the southern branch of the University of California at UCLA. It was only first 2 years, and I waited. And then I got a little anxious because Berkeley opens up in August. UCLA, this was open up in September, like the rest of them, mm-hmm. But Berkeley always did earlier. So I decided to go out there. I never knew what university was. And I says, "Here, I'm a second semester, I want to get into here and there." He said, "Well, you'll have to wait 6 months." I says, "The hell I'll wait for 6 months." I didn't know what the difference was. And my father, with him, was a railroad strike, so we had to take the boat up to San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
And he put me into a family in Oakland where I stayed for a moment.
So he sent you, you went alone up there to meet a family?
No. My father accompanied me up to there on the boat. And he had some friends in San Francisco, which are still our friends. But they found a family for me to live with in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took me out to the university 5 weeks late. And remember, this is the first semester after World War I, when there was the big overgrown college, and there they had over 10,000 on the Berkeley campus. So I came in. What could I get into? I got into two histories and two political sciences. They wouldn't let me into Spanish because I was too much in advance. I had to wait 6 months so I took some English. And I took the mathematics. All they would let me get into was analytical geometry.
Whoa.
That's that trigonometry. Well, and that was taught by some TA that came in. They had to bring in a hurry because they had overflow in the university. And that's an interesting thing. I always learn by example and by seeing. Somehow or another, my imagination doesn't carry through poetry. That's why I'm not a great poet. I don't like poetry too much and something like that. And I had a hard time with analytical geometry. I was homesick too. We got through, we had our finals in the first weeks of December, this is the old time, into there, and all my courses were in the first 2 days of the final exam period, except mathematics came a week later, and I was perfect willing. I said, oh, fuck me, let me go home. He said, no. So I waited around. I was the first or second out of that class, and as I walked out, this I'll never remember. I don't know who he was, though. I don't remember. His name was Young Fella. He was kicked out, I know, right afterwards. And into there, he says, what'd you get for this answer? I said, this. He says, well, I didn't get the same answer. I didn't flunk. I'll never forget that time. Got four A's. No, we got four ones. That's the way they're one.
The
and I got three in mathematics. Yeah.
From this TA.
Oh, yeah. That's my first grades. And so I got interested differently and forgot my Spanish. Well, I wanted it. The mathematics, I said, threw me. I'm afraid. So that's where. Now, the two history freshman courses, one was a brand new one. First time ever given anywhere in the world. And Bolton was trying out his History of the Americas. Mm. In that class, which was held in Wheeler Auditorium, which sat about between 1,000 and 1,100 seats into there, we sat on the floor if we didn't get in time.
Wow.
And Bolton lectured. He wasn't a great lecturer, but he was an interesting man, very much so. We were under TAs, you see. We had two lectures a week, and then section leaders who examined us.
Was this your second semester there?
My first year.
This was
1919. I didn't get to September, where it began in August, you see.
Okay, right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, oh no, this is 1919. And my father was with me the first time I got on the campus, after he got me placed in there, and of all the things in the world, the head TA was a man, Binkley. And that Binkley, when he saw my father, he said, hello, Mr. Nastas here. And to me, he didn't say Abe or anything of the kind. He says, are you asking me for KC powder books? And immediately he came to me. He was a grocery clerk in Santa Ana for his uncle, where we used to go in and get all kinds of books and everything else. Right there, about a half a block from my father's store.
He recognized your father.
Oh, yeah, me as a little kid.
Isn't that something?
He was the head TA. I didn't have him. I had another one. But, I mean, he was the first one, the head TA. I've known him, of course, ever since, and he became a very, very distinguished historian of the Texas Revolution, later than that. But my own one was a different one. My own the TA was a fellow named Kuykendall, whom I shall never forget. Fell at least 6'4", thin as a rail, who, when he came into the classroom and they had a desk about this high, he would put on the pulpit on top of that in order to get the, down to us. Oh, yes, yes, yes. And the next year, he never finished his PhD. Winkley didn't, the rest of them all did and became, he went to Hawaii and organized the Hawaiian Society and became the greatest of all the Hawaiian historians.
Well,
I've known, yes. And I'll never forget him. There, that's my first experience. And I got interested, that's where I got interested in a lot of the stories and a few other things in history. I missed the greatest historian in what we called then the History 4, that was History A. Mm-hmm. The other freshman course was what we call the European Civilization course that we have here as well. That was given by Casey Liebrich, whom I got to know very well. But he was a poor substitute for the greatest man of all, Henry Moore Stevens, who died about 3 months before I got there. But Bolton, of course, was just now, he's already made his great his name and was just now coming out.
Right.
And that's, it was, I got next to him very closely into here. And the other course I took, I was trying to figure, was economics.
Oh.
See, I had two courses in history, two courses in poli-sci, and economics. One. And it wasn't until the second semester I took English.
Now, were these prerequisites are today?
They were the fundamental courses, prerequisites for everything.
Right, okay.
What it amounts to in the field, but I didn't care. That's all I could get into.
Then you're going to take
them. That's all. Taking them. That's how I got all balled up into secondary social sciences,
right.
So to speak.
Okay.
But I got interested in that. And I get immediately on. You see, if you go into college in 1919, you're supposed to be in the class of 23. My class is 21.
That was pretty fast.
There's a reason for it. It really should be 22. The second year in my college in there, on the campus, I was taking up revision stuff. And of course, I was interested already in history, and I knew I'd be in social science of some sort, still working for some kind of a high school credential. That was my purpose during the time. I didn't know what a PhD was when I got there. At the end of my freshman year, up there, 1920, they had the last step of your PhD is what we call the final public examination, where your committee examines you on your thesis, and it's open to the public. They can't ask questions, but it's open to the public.
Right.
That's the first time I ever knew what a PhD was, and I went to see them. They had three in history at that time, the three of Bolton's at that time. Rippey, whom I know, and he's still maybe alive. Cowan was dead, and Binkley. All of them, I went to see them. That's where I first known what a PhD, I never knew what a PhD was when I got there. The second year, of course, I just took the regular things, and I'm working for a high school credential, watching. We didn't get it in history. We got it in... Well, we had to get three majors and a minor in outside your fields. That's what the requirement for a teacher's high school.
Of high school.
For secondary at the time. It came out that I was in history, poli-sci, economics, and my outside one was in public speaking, which is either public speaking or English. They ran together, a combination at that time, into there. That's what I got. I became, in the second year, was it the second or third year? Because I graduated in December of 21. That's why it isn't 22, because we had the end of the semester is in December 21.
Right. Okay.
you see?
Right.
And that's what I am in that 21.
Class.
And I was the reader for Bolton's upper division class in my senior year. During that time, I knew him very well.
Now, would this be the equivalent now of an MA degree or a BA at that time?
What? BA is... I got a Bachelor of Arts December 21.
Okay, this would have been the equivalent of the BA.
No, that's no equivalent. It is.
That is the BA. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Sure it is.
Okay.
And
And also for the credential?
The credential takes fifth year.
Oh, well, okay.
And that's in 22. Now, what I did with the credential is, as I told you, I got it through in history, political science, economics, and public speaking. That's what I got it in. And I got that at the end of summer. What's that? I think it was summer. In 22. Yeah. That's when I got it. It's in 1922. And a very interesting part of that is I did my practice teaching at the University High under Miss Mary Ross, who later on became a very good friend and associate. And she was one of Bolton's students in Georgian. And I did some work for her later on in Europe for her, and they just put it up, some kind of a memorial to her that Georgia did, and asked me to contribute some folk song to her. Because I taught as a young kid, I wasn't 18, and a small fellow, I just grew up. I forgot to tell you, that's one of the most interesting things of all in my life. When I went to Berkeley, I was in knee breeches.
Oh.
A size 15 boy's suit. Oh,
dear.
And I'm sure that they all thought that I was a precocious young kid crossing for the campus and using the library. Because I never was touched, never worried about anything of the kind, except I was interested in public debating, and I was a member of Congress Debating Society on the campus there, but not a campus debater. But what I grew up in the first year from about 4'10" or 11" to about 5'5" to what I am now. Anyway, from a 15 boys to 36 men.
Oh my.
In the first year or so into there. Now, when you became a graduate student, freshman, they always identified freshmen with a blue registration card. Everything else is red at that time. So that meant I got a blue registration when I was graduated. And four times they threatened to throw me into Strawberry Creek for hazing as they, the freshman. Not when I was a freshman, when I was a freshman graduate student. And the boys saved me finally, some on the campus there. But it's just one of those things that happened. That's where they used to haze them by throwing them in Strawberry Creek. Sure. But, and let me see what else. Of course, as a graduate student, I entered the seminar, Bolton Seminar. I was interested in getting an MA. I knew what that was. And I did get a topic and get my master's degree in December 22. I kind of think I got my high school credential at the same time.
So you went for both?
Oh, no, we always did it together, okay. As part of the thing. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Had you abandoned the idea of teaching by this time for at the high school level?
No.
You just, that
no,
was it?
No, that's part of it.
Okay.
But I now knew what a PhD was. And from December 22 until the end of that year, which would be, make it in 23, I had when was that now? 24, 25, 26. Yeah, it was 23. I was now interested in a PhD, and I became a teaching fellow for Bolton. And I finished all my requirements. Wait a minute, I finished all my requirements, course requirements, for the PhD. And in 1923. I had my committee made, and they saw, this is back towards the end of 23 and into 24. 23, 24, I was a teaching fellow. That's it. And I was ready and took my exams for the PhD. At that time we had the qualifying examinations of seven professors, and that's your make or break. That was a real one. And I also had to know French and German. Now there are two things in there. That you, now you get the story, just the beginning and what I just gave it to from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
Into here. I went in to learn French. See, Spanish I knew I wouldn't need it for my field.
Right.
But not, you had to have French and German. Now it's differently. Now
yeah.
It's anything you want to.
You're lucky if you get a language now.
Oh, no, no, they still require a language, but they now allow you to take French and Spanish, and two of the ones that in my day you couldn't do it. It had to be French and German. No matter if you want meat, even you had Latin and everything else on addition. In my case, it was Spanish. Into there. Well, I went into summer session, took French A, summer session, then went into Pato, who gave it. Pato was one of the greatest professors internationally. He's a medievalist. And he didn't care who you were. He was a man. He always, too, I could tell you lots of stories about Pato. He asked me what I wanted to take my French. He gave the French and German exam. I said, oh, I didn't care. I said, I'd read a little small history of France. And I'll never forget it because I was just going over one at that time in France, and so just before commencement day, he brought down a volume that I took my French examination in. It's in 15th century French history, which I didn't know the history, let alone the language. And it was the Book of Langlois, who was the head archivist, and I met him later on in France, into there. And when I got back to there, Pedro said to me, he says, Nasir, is there a subjunctive in French? I said, sure. He says, it's funny, you translate all this in the present tense. He says, I tell you what I'm going to do with your master here. He says, I'm going to pass you in French because you're going to France. I was some away that time. And I know you'll learn it. And that blue book with his signature and saying that on it, is I still have it.
Oh, how neat.
Yeah. Now, this is now in 1924. You see, this has happened when I took my examinations, you see, for the PhD examination, which was make or break. It was a hard one. There's a very interesting story there. Maybe I can tell that, maybe not.
Now, you already had arranged to do your initial research in France by this time, right?
No. I'll come to that in just a minute.
All
because
right.
That starts from my master's thesis.
Okay.
That's in there. But this is a hard time because of my committee, and I had to go, and this is the end of the semester beginning, and had a hard time having committee examination. I think I can tell it to you, though. First of all, with Professor Palm, who was going off, he gave me a special one, and I had no trouble because I knew it very well. With Professor McCormick, I had no trouble whatsoever. But then they had to bring them all together, the other men. And at my examination, they showed up. Not Palm, because that's that special one, but the rest of them all showed up. We began at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, supposed to be a 2-hour exam, that's all. Something like that. All right. And present were my Professor Sate and Professor Russell, were the two political scientists on my committee. Professor Satan, a very distinguished man. I had been his reader at one time. And I had no trouble with Professor Satan. He said, "Hell, if you have trouble with me, I'll kick you in the fat." That's all there's to it. He was quite a man. He gave me a nice little thing, and I had a lot of seminar work. But Professor Russell is in international relations. And I took his seminar, but I'm not too well in it. I tried to get the best I could into it. But Bolton, who's my chairman, and I went to Bolton, and my chairman, I said, "What do you want me to get up?" Oh, he says, "Hell, if you don't know enough to get by from me here, you ought to be ashamed of yourself." And normally the chairman, sometimes he asks questions, sometimes he doesn't. Bolton never asked him. Well, just before the last one, Russell, he says, "Master, I want to ask some questions."
Oh, dear.
He says, "How about giving me a history of Spanish colonization?" And I just give you the general fact, and that's all I want. So I began to tell them occupation of the islands, and then the expansion to Florida. Stop me. "Russell, have you ever heard any international relations about that?" "No." So for 40 minutes, he and Russell were talking. And the chimes on the thing rang at 6 o'clock. That saved me because I had the hardest time with Russell at the time. And I'll never forget when I came out and said, "Bo, well, what's the result?" "Ah, you just forget about it." He never did tell me, but it was past.
You're past.
Now you come to the other part of it, about going to France, you see, because that came right afterwards. I have only one explanation. They offered me the Native Sons Traveling Fellowship, which was granted and given by the Native Sons, two of them a year, and to go to Spain. That's what it's for. And it was granted by the Department of History through the university, of course. Why they gave it to me, only one explanation that I know of. I was so damn young, they wanted me to grow a year older. That's all I could find out. I had no idea. But now, wait a minute. Now, I had my high school credential. Don't forget that.
Right.
And I called up my father. And I not only had my high school credential. Oh, I got that in December of 22 with my master's degree. And so I was still teaching a reader, and I stayed to, this is in May of 1924, I'm talking about. And I had a job in Marin County, called up, I had that two prospects.